the Shore Shame Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Shalom, everybody. This is Bill Cloud, and welcome to our Torah tidbit, which is going to be taken from the Torah portion called Kedoshim, which literally means holy, or even more literally, holies. Now, while the previous portion gave a long list of forbidden practices that would lead to spiritual contamination, this portion is going to begin with the positive commandment, the responsibility to emulate God, that is, to be holy. And thus we read in Leviticus 19, beginning in verse 1, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, You shall be holy, that is, kadosh, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy." And so, we're called to be holy as individuals, and we're also called to be holy as a people, as a nation, just as God is holy. Now, in my opinion, the instructions from these particular passages that we see in this portion are very similar to the ones found on the first tablet of the Ten Commandments. But in our Torah portion, it actually goes deeper into explanation. For instance, in this portion, we see that God not only forbids the worship of idols, but goes so far as to say that we're not to even give any regard to these idols or these worthless gods. And so then, if the previous section and this what that we're reading are to be considered the heart of the Torah, then Leviticus chapter 19 is actually the heart of the heart. In fact, according to some rabbinical interpretation, Leviticus chapter 19 summarizes the essentials of the Torah. Moreover, the command to be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy, that dominates the entire book of Vayikra, or Leviticus. Well, it dominates the entire Bible because that's the heart of God's message to His people, that we are to be holy, we are to be set apart. And thus we'll see throughout the Bible this principle of not mixing what's holy with the unholy. It's repeated again and again. Being holy expresses God's complete freedom, being set apart from anything that would make mankind imperfect. And consequently, that's what He challenges us to do, what He challenges us to strive for, to be holy, to attain that freedom from those things that pollute and those things that contaminate. Holiness is something, well, that the entire congregation of Israel, all of God's people, is responsible for. Thus, He tells Moses in Exodus 19 that His people are to be a holy nation. Beginning in verse 5, He says, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey My voice and keep My covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to Me above all people, for all the earth is Mine. And you shall be to Me a kingdom of priests and a goy kadosh, or a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." Now, this particular statement is made before the golden calf incident, whereby we have a Levitical priesthood, but nevertheless, it still intimates that all of Israel was to be considered a kingdom of priests and to be a holy nation. To be holy is the word kadosh, and that is a separation from the normal, to be on a different plane than the secular world. But now on the other end of the spectrum is the word kedesha, and that is a word that comes from the same root, but it means to be set apart. However, this set apart, this particular word, kedesha, is translated as harlot in Deuteronomy 23. A harlot is one who is set apart, separated from the norms of society, but for a completely and diametrically opposed purpose. Mingling seed is what the kedesha does, if I may put it that way. So, what are we to deduce from this? That is, this comparison between the word kadosh, what we're supposed to be, and the kedesha. It is that we're not to be set apart just for the sake of being different. That's not enough. We must be set apart in a way that emulates the characteristics of God, not just some of them, but all of them. Now, obviously, we cannot imitate His omnipresence or His omniscience or His omnipotence, but we can and we should emulate Him by remaining separate or set apart from the things that defile, and then embrace those things that are pure and righteous and holy. Because this is the highest human ideal. This is the ultimate act of worship. You see, true worship is not limited to things like music, though it might certainly include that. But true worship is to emulate and obey the one you love. So, in our objective to be holy, even as He is holy, we can strive to emulate His compassion, His mercy, His truthfulness. I mean, you consider that in the beginning of the Torah, God clothed a naked Adam. And at the end of the Torah, He buried Moses. He heals the sick. He frees the captives. He does good to His enemies, and He extends mercy to those who don't deserve it. Holiness is not some ethereal, abstract idea, but it's a regulative principle that should show up in everyday life. Furthermore, it's not to be determined exclusively, anyway, by what one looks like on the outside, but by the truth that is rooted in their heart. Holiness is not determined by one's dress and vernacular, but is manifested through different precepts. Things like reverence for parents, things like consideration of the needy, even things like giving prompt wages for reasonable work hours, dealing with your fellow man honorably. Holiness means no tale-bearing, and holiness will prompt one to love his neighbor and treat the stranger with respect. It means equal justice for the rich and the poor, and an abhorrence of unclean things. And by the way, all of these things that I just mentioned to you, each and every one of them are addressed in this Torah portion. Now, another thought that comes to mind is that holiness is not obtained by fleeing from the world. That's not what set apart means. But by doing what is right while we are in the world. Yeshua said this in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and then glorify your Father in heaven. And so, holiness can be described in this manner, I believe, according to the prophet Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And so then, to be holy doesn't necessarily mean that you are doing everything just as Moses commanded, because this is something that even the rabbis understood. Someone who only attains the letter of the law can quite easily become a degenerate with the permission of the law. In other words, it's entirely possible to meet the technical requirements of the law while at the same time surrendering to self-indulgence. Yeshua spoke to this matter when He said this in Matthew chapter 23, beginning in verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, but you have neglected the weightier matters of the law, or the Torah. And by the way, weightier is the word in Hebrew, kavod, which would be glorious. You've neglected the things like justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone, blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first Cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. So the point of all of this is, when God calls us to be holy, that is both individually and as a nation, He expects more than just an outward appearance of holiness. In fact, we're warned to be aware of such. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without any self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away." Now, when we hear this, or as we read this, I realize it's probably our first reaction to think that Paul was warning us of what kind of people that the world would become in the last days. And I believe that it's appropriate to look at it that way. However, should it not also be considered a warning about what could happen within the body, that is, among God's people? I mean, if you consider that he alerts us to the fact that some will have a form of godliness, but they're going to be denying the power of that, should we not consider that he's really being descriptive of God's people, those who have neglected the call to be kadosh, holy, and perhaps have become kadesha, set apart, a harlot? You see, our call to be holy is to be like him in every way possible. And that brings me to this concluding point. If we are to be holy even as he is holy, then we're going to have to be filled with his Holy Spirit. As I've said many times, I can't be filled with his Spirit if I'm full of myself. And so, we have a call, and that is to be holy even as he is holy. And that brings us to the close of our tidbit. Until next time, shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a BillCloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.